All right, let's begin with a word of prayer and then we'll sing a song or two. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for watching over us and loving us, for bringing us all safely here, Lord. And I just thank you for your continued blessings and helps and wisdom and strength and boldness and comforts, Lord, healings even. Father, I pray you now that you would be one of our number, that you would just take time in the church hall this evening to minister to each one of us, to shape us, to mould us, to save us, to chasten us, to just supply our needs this day. We're glad to have Frank with us and Mark and Jake. I pray you, Lord, that you would see Frank safely home, safely back to his other home, whenever he gets back that a ways, and Mark and Jake back home safe and sound after the service too. But it's good to see each one that made it here this evening, and I pray you, Lord, please, that you would just bless us and our time together. We love you and praise you and ask for your wisdom and guidance as we take this time around your world and lifting up your praises and prayers, Lord. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. All right. Our first request of the evening is How Great Thou Art.
I'm not waiting for Christine.
They'll not be here this evening. So please do pray for them. Amen. If you would like to swap hymn books for the bigger ones and go to 173. That's 173. If you're able to stand, stand as we sing Love Lifted Me. And if you're not, well, as long as you make a joyful noise, that's all I'm asking for.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me. Could help. Love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I'll sing. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belongs. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Could help, love lifted me. Souls in danger look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obeys. He your savior wants to be saved.
Norman, if you're fit, brother, you come up and bring us the reading.
Let's do it. Steve sent me a text this morning, but I read the 4 wrong and presumed it was a 2, so I'm going for 2. No, no. You can keep Acts 4 for the next day, okay? So I'll get time to practice it then. So I was giving you a bit of a jip out there, as you know, all these names here, but anyway, here goes. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. When this was noised abroad, the multitudes came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galatians? And how hear ye we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, dweller of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Bithynia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and in parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, all ye that dwell of Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For there are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in its last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my maidservants I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapour of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pain of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou hast made me full of joy and thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, and he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn that with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, speak of the resurrection of Christ, and his soul was not lifted in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make my foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter, and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for remissions of sin, that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. All that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favour with all the people. The Lord added to the church daily such as would be saved. Amen.
Greatly appreciate Steve's contribution and Norman reading whatever chapter he wants. Amen. Anyway, I'd like to take a minute or two if anybody has any prayer requests that they'd like to make known. Go ahead there, Steve.
I know that my granddaughter will read some of the prayers. However, I believe I'm contending for a soul right now. I've had another debate tonight. She's trying to wind me up about my faith, and I frustrate about a few things. I'm reminded of that Jesus died on the cross to save us. However, it seems an ongoing battle, which I'm tired now, and I need prayers and strength.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I know it's different for family. The Word of God says that when you're contending with souls, that a man, or anybody for that matter, that's an heretic after the first and second admonition, you're called upon to reject. But family's different because you see them all the time anyway. But yes, indeed. We will continue to pray for Sam and Louise.
Well, Louise, Sammy got told to leave and put her in a place and said that was not funny, but we just said to her.
Yeah.
Sammy does respect my faith.
Yes, he did.
I love it to pieces, you know I do.
You probably made the cardinal sin when dealing with spoiled people and saying no to her. She's having a hissy fit, but she'll get over it, as a fella says. Anyway, we'll certainly pray for Louise for salvation Is it strength or wisdom for you? So if you get strength.
Wisdom and words to speak in the right way.
Sure. Okay. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Please pray for Steve's granddaughter. Did she actually make it out here a couple of times, didn't she? Past years. Please pray for Louise and for Mummy too. And for Steve and Pat. It always hits a bit closer to home whenever it's family that's having the difficulty. So, anyway. Any other prayer requests?
Please pray for Stan and the family. And for our little boys here.
We already do, but what's the occasion?
What's the occasion? I'm not going to say because I'm not the best prayers anymore.
Certainly.
Thank you, brother.
By all accounts, Stan, as Marky can confirm, any time he goes out to do anything, I think his oxygen drops down, doesn't it? So,
I know that feeling.
He was hoping to be out working on Friday,
yeah.
But it doesn't look like it'll happen. But pray anyway. Pray. You have to start recovering somewhere. But it's a matter of knowing your limits. And what you can stretch to it and doing it a wee bit at a time. So please do pray for Stan.
On the phone, and he told me he's on a 12-week rest, and that's it. No or two ways about it. He said, I have to do it, Steve.
He's on a 12-week course of physio for his lungs.
Yeah, he's very ill.
But he has to. If you don't get the, even like a fire, if you don't supply oxygen, a fire dies, and people are the same. If people don't get oxygen, they die too. So do pray for him. It's not a light moment. And Stan always making a bit of a joke about anything, but he's not joking very much about the COVID, unfortunately, or the after effects that it's made themselves present on him. So. Please do pray for him. All right. I have private prayer requests for Monica and myself and Ling and Steve and Pat and Will and Norman. That's everybody here. There'll be a new prayer list come the weekend. So these will all be updated. Is there anybody else that has any private prayer requests that they would like added to the pile? Excellent. Excellent. All right. Is there anything else we need to be praying about or thinking about?
There is nothing coming. England's already had a 14.5-hour thunderstorm. And it was bad. And apparently we're supposed to get the same warnings now.
Well, we have thunder warnings or thunder and lightning warnings at least in Portadown on Friday, I think it is. So.
It's never actually hit, but.
Whenever, if you have to go out in the rain, don't carry a metal umbrella, is all I can say. or don't be playing golf or anything like that whenever you're out. or swinging a hammer, you'll be like Thor, like for like a fraction of a second before you turn into the human torch. and then dead man. but just be careful. I think that's about that. All right, are you okay to pray for us this evening? Okay, you lead us in a word of prayer and then we'll sing another song.
Father, we give thanks to you for this day and this time and the hour that we come to you, Father. Set aside from the world. Please, Lord, put a very fire around us, Lord, give the evils away. We ask, Lord, that we have a good time with you, with the tithes and the offerings and sing the praises and songs. And Lord, to the end of the servant of your most precious word. I give thanks, Lord, for Frank being with us, Ling and Norman, Banger, Marky and Jake, and Lord, and I give thanks to you, Lord, for blessing me with a wonderful wife as well. I ask, Lord, if you will, just be with each one of us and grant us our needs according to thy holy will. I pray, Lord, for Stan and Karen and Samuel and Faith and Jay. And JJ. Lord, that you will help them and strengthen them as well, Lord. Speak especially Stan, Lord, as you know, Father, he's your servant, Lord, he needs your help, he needs your healing touch. Oh, please, help that big guy for him to heal. Lord, I ask you, Lord, if you will, just be with Israel at this dark time. Lord, we know that the enemies are all around them, Father. But I know, Lord, as in days of old, you've gone before them and defeated their enemies. Do it again, Lord, and let the world see that you're still there, Lord God, and they're still your children. And that you're in the business of still doing miracles. Father, I ask, Lord, for our world leaders as well. That you open their eyes to common sense and truth. And Lord, of these lockdown restrictions, Lord, that you would put common sense there as well, that you don't lift them too soon, too easily. Lord, especially after this concert, the souls that went up in the COVID ward, they're mounted up as we speak. Lord, please, Lord, help those sweet souls. Strengthen the nurses and the doctors, Lord, and the physicians, Lord. Bless the NHS and grant them to their needs and their ways and things to do. Lord, and to help souls and save lives. Father, please, Lord, if you will, if it be your will, you lift this terrible thing from this world. I know, Lord, just a wave of your hand, just speak the words, it will be gone. Please, Father, what man's created, Lord, young, we can destroy. Father, I ask the Lord all these things. I ask the Lord too for a blessing on your servant now because he brings us your word. Father, please bless him. Give him the words to speak to us, Lord, and let it be a blessing or a chastising to each one of us, whichever you will, Lord. And Lord, we know that each way, Lord, that you love us enough to tell us what we need to do and what we should do. Father, I leave all these things at the foot of the cross with you, Lord. Lord, that you just grant our needs and petitions, not just on mine, Lord, but everybody's here tonight. The private prayer requests, the prayer list that we put out on each week. And all the tracks that went out too, Lord, be a blessing to someone, some soul. Mm-hmm. Just read them, Lord, and realize that they need you as their Savior. Lord, please save souls this day, this week. In your most precious name, Lord, please, I beg you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Steve. Yeah, 448, if you'd like to take your hymn books and turn there. Big ones, this is this time. 448 is Brethren We've Met to Worship. According to popular request.
Struggling hard with sin.
my Savior, tell them that he will be found. Sisters, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
Amen. Amen. Give me just a second there. Had a couple somewhere. I've made a run for cover. There's one of them there. Hi. If you'd like to take and go to number 22 in the wee books, hymn number 22, we'll just remain seated as we sing. Won't it be wonderful there?
The Savior, we enter the glory land. Won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. Singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there?
All right, we are done with our hymn books, at least for 15 or 20 minutes, give or take. And if you'd like to take and turn to Isaiah 55, Isaiah 55 this evening, I'd like to take a little bit of time and speak on the subject of scales, S-C-A-L-E-S, Isaiah 55, if you'd like to take and turn. Going to begin reading at verse, there's only 13 verses, why don't we just read them all? Isaiah chapter 55, beginning at verse number 1. The Word of God says, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money, and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto God, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign, that shall not be cut off. Amen. We're taking verses 8 and 9 as our text this evening, or at least for this little bit. I want to speak on the subject of scales. Let's have a quick prayer and then we'll get going. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to spend the time in your word, and I pray it would be a help to each one of us. Be with Christopher and Taylor, be with Stan, and Lord, for all those other souls that could and should be here, and can't be or aren't, Father, help us to be a help. Put your good hand upon Esther. Think especially just on Elaine and Hillary at this time, and Leonard too. Lord, we pray that your will be done. Please greatly convict the leaders of our countries. Please, Lord, use the leaflets and the words that have been put in through doors and into people's ears. Lord, please greatly work there. Just leave this service at your feet, Lord, and pray that you would lead us and guide us through it. Please cleanse us and refresh us. Please open our understanding this evening. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Now, we're not talking about skin conditions, and we're not talking about fishing whenever we're talking about scales. There are a couple of different interpretations of scales that we're talking about. And the first one I want to consider this evening is God. Just like the Word of God says here in verses 8 and 9, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And many times, as we even go about with our plans and our schemes and our organizations, and even with the best will in the world, the Lord said we should always say, "Lord willing, we'll do this or that and continue another day." Because God is just so much greater than us. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody here, I know a few of you folks have built models and one thing and another. How cool do you think it would be to be able to actually step into your model plane and fly it, or into your model tank and drive it, or into your model power armor and wear it? That would be cool. It's not possible, but it would be cool. Well, God actually did that. He stepped into his creation, and he lived among us for 33 years as a man, fully man and fully God. And he fulfilled hundreds of prophecies that he had spent thousands of years putting into place and putting into the human consciousness and into our attention, if that's the way you want to put it. Even as he lived and worked among us, he did many crazy things. Like, said to Peter, go and throw a hook in the water and pull it up. And a fish is going to jump onto the hook, which I suppose is a miracle even in itself. But even more than that, there'll be a penny in the fish's mouth. That's pretty cool. And he said, go and use that to pay our taxes in case some of those tax collectors have a fit. You might think, well, that's more of a conjuring trick. Well, that's fair enough. What about a way in the Old Testament where he fed a whole country in the wilderness for 40 years? Whenever he made sure that their shoes and their clothes didn't wear out. Whenever he made sure that no army that came against them could stand against them. That's pretty cool. That shows someone that's, well, a bit more capable than Joe Public, doesn't it? If we were to step right the way back to the book of Genesis, we see a God, the Father, the Word. He wasn't called the Son back in the Old Testament, but the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit making everything. Well, actually, it was Jesus, the Word of God, that made everything. But they just called everything into being. He said, let there be light, and there was. He called the earth into being and even organized the water. Called the seas into one place and told the dry land to pop up through the water, and it did. He made the sun and the moon and the stars, and they all just obediently appeared. They don't have a choice in the matter. They're not living souls or anything like that, but they did exactly what they were told. And out of the air and out of the sea, he called forth all sorts of animals. And then out of the dust of the earth, he called us out. Just raised us up from the dust, and hence the old saying, from dust you were called and to dust you will return upon your time being up. We see even from the times that Adam and Eve disobeyed, like only two or three pages into the Word of God, we see already a picture of Jesus in being a sacrifice for Adam and Eve's sins. We see already human nature being there, our desire to blame. Oh, it was him. It was him. Have you ever seen a little child when they're put in the spot? Did you eat that? No. And their face could be covered in chocolate and they still didn't eat it, whatever it was that you're accusing them of. And that's human nature. That is our nature. And God has, goodness, he is so big and so broad and so, that's the words of a song, one of the kids' songs, isn't it? He knows everything. He has his finger on the pulse of everything. He knows all of the things that you or I are ever going to do. And he's written down in this book the solution for them. And the general solution is that modern wisdom is not designed to give people a good time. It's designed to poison them when making them feel good at the same time. God gave us a set of rules to live peaceably with everybody else by. But more than that, he gave us a commandment whereby we can live peaceably with him. And that's far more important, and that is, of course, the same commandment that he gave to Nicodemus. You must be born again. Again, the title of another song, you must be born again. If you were to take your time and go through all of the books in the Old Testament and put in a wee highlighter or a dot or whatever it is that people do these days to mark out the prophecies that were made in the Bible, not just the ones about Jesus. There are many, many types and prophecies of Jesus, from Noah and the Ark of Salvation, Jesus, of course, being our Ark of Salvation, to Joseph and his coat of many colours being another type of Jesus, rejected by his brethren, cast down, made low on this earth, but raised up to the right hand of Pharaoh, in other words, his Father in heaven, is another picture of Jesus Christ. The times that God himself spoke with Abraham whenever he was just about to deliver judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And time after time after time, God has dealt with man. and he has pointed them in the right direction and given them a recipe for success. Obey me, he says, and I will bless you. And it's not that obeying me makes me a greater God. It makes you a greater person. Because you will find that many of the faults and things that will trouble you, that trouble many people, won't trouble you when you're doing things my way. He is so far above us, we can only even guess at what's going on in the background and see the little bits. It's almost like the icebergs, the little bits of God's prophecy that appear, that little 10% above the water. But that is upheld not just by the power of God, but by his desire to see us saved and to make these things happen. Some of the things that are in the Bible God is going to make happen, and they're global. That's just the law. They're cosmic even. And I don't mean that in the drug-induced haze. I mean they are going to be literally cosmic. They're going to happen out in space. There's going to be a great heat from the sun. That's not going to happen in Northern Ireland and spread to the rest of the world. We'll not know what to do. We start to flake out when it gets past 20 degrees. Can you imagine a great heat that men are going to curse themselves and wish they were dead? There's going to be huge hailstones. That's happening all, going to be happening all over the world. There's going to be armies of animals that are just going to rage across the world and kill people. The fear. I was watching, I don't know if anyone has ever seen, I think it's in the National Geographic Channel, a show called Alone. Where, I was going to say 10 Egypts, but 10 survival experts go out. I think they're way up on the west coast of America at this particular time that this thing's being shown. A place that's rife with mountain lions and bears. And either one could kill any one of these people, but all these people have to do is go, hey, get away on the... And bears like four times their size start running. Because God said there would be a fear of man in the creatures. God put all these things into place. He made it so that like brings forth like, despite what current teaching would like to have you believe. The farmers have been practicing it for ever since farmers have farmed, and people have been observing it ever since people have been thinking. Like always brings forth like. I have been raising cats and seeing them raised for nearly 50 years, and you know what? Mummy cats have always brought forth baby cats, kittens. Mummy dogs have always had baby dogs. And mummy budgies have always had baby budgies. I know that for a fact. But I've only been doing that for 40 or 50 years. But farmers have been farming for thousands of years. And cows have always had cows, and horses have always had horses, and goats have always had goats. And chickens have always had chickens. Well, when they get the opportunity and their eggs aren't collected by me and divvied up around the church. Get the idea. God said this is the way it is, no matter what anybody else says. And one other thing that he said that is divine, divine providence and divinely kept by God. No matter what we try and do. And I am sure there's many a soul, some of them behind the pulpit. No matter what we try and do to get rid of the good old King James Bible, God is going to make sure it's always going to be on the face of this earth. There'll always be a King James Bible for a seeking soul to read, to learn what they need from. Now, I don't know the sort of planning and the sort of preparation you would have to put in place to make all of these people's lives over a period at this moment in time of about 6,000 years, be the right example. Write the words down that he told them to. Even verses of scripture that point to future events happening, like the destruction of the Catholic Church and everybody crying because they can't sell their stuff anymore, and how the revived Roman Empire is going to turn on her, or be turned on by the world empire, these 10 kings, and so on and so forth. About how everyone was going to be able to see the image of the beast, an image given life on a little square of plastic and iridium and gold and silicone in their pockets. I'm sure we never thought about those things. It was just recently. Does anyone remember that pit that opens up and all those critters come out of it? I thought, drones? Drones running using a swarm intelligence or swarm programming, that could be what those guys saw. I don't know, but it's certainly something going to be happening. God has seen this all happen. And God has made a lot of it happen. But regardless of what is happening in the Bible, in the world, God has always made sure that the individuals involved have always had a way out. They have always had the freedom, even in their minds, even if it's only in their minds, to repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. I want for you to remember that God is so big and so mighty and so complicated. I think he calls us locusts in his sight. We're little and we're limited. And again, in one of those programs, I remember seeing these guys setting a trap for an animal, and we're sitting thinking, how do they fall for that? How do those animals fall for that trap? There's a big hunk of metal right there. If they put their foot on it, they're going to be stuck. And yet, when the guy comes back the next day, there's a wolf stuck in it. Or there's a bear stuck in it. Or there's a turkey or something stuck in it. You're thinking, how do they fall for that? It's because they don't understand the greater complexities that we lay down in our plans and schemes. And if you think on a scale far above ours, just exactly the level at which God operates, it is beyond our understanding, but it is easily within his understanding. There is definitely a great difference in scale whenever it comes to talking about God and about us. The next scale that I want to talk about is the sin scale. Has anyone ever seen the scales of justice that reside on a statue? I know there's one in America. Sure, there's one here. It talks about Lady Justice with a sword in one hand and the scales in the other and the blindfold on, so that she can't be influenced. And the scales of justice will always be, not always be in this world, but that's the theory, will always be fair and equitable for every single person. I want to give you a little verse from the book of James, James 2 and 10. I'm not going to quote it exactly, but I'll give you the gist of it. It says, if any man keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of the whole law. That's what the Bible says. So, what do you think the penalty is for breaking God's law? Is it a slap on the wrist if you tell a wee white lie? Is it, what is it they, in Muslim countries, they'll whip your hand off if you steal something? You'd definitely not be stealing with that hand again. That's breaking God's law. Don't steal and don't lie and don't cheat, don't kill. Killing's still part of God's law, isn't it? So if you break the law and Jesus says you're guilty of the whole law, there's a death penalty, exactly, for breaking God's law. How many times are we owed the death penalty? How many times have we lied in our lives? How many times have we stolen stuff in our lives? How many times have we committed adultery in our hearts or with our bodies? How many times have we killed people? How many times have we coveted what other people have got? How many times have we rebelled against our parents? How many times have we rebelled against God and worshipped idols? And so on and so forth. How many times have we drunk? How many times have we broken God's dietary laws? Because they count as well. And every single one of them is essentially a death sentence. So were you talking about 10? Do we owe God 10 lives? Maybe just for this morning. Do we owe him hundreds? Have we broken God's laws hundreds of times? Maybe this week, or maybe this month. Would thousands do it any justice? Maybe for a year. What about our whole lives? Tens of thousands? Hundreds of thousands? I'll tell you something else that gives us the scale of God and man. God knows exactly how many times that we have broken his laws. We have no idea whatsoever. And that is the scale of the debt that we owe to God. It is huge. And even if we saved 100 lives, even if we managed somehow, the only way I can think of it is averting a nuclear disaster or bomb going off so that maybe you save 100,000 people in the middle of London. And even that, all of the sin that you have done before, whilst you may have saved an equal number of lives, still marks you as a sinner. If you kill somebody and then dive into the foil and save somebody, you're still a murderer. And people won't remember you for saving somebody. They'll remember you for murdering somebody. We have a huge sin debt. A huge sin debt. And that doesn't even give us the idea or the proper understanding of what we owe to God. His law is perfect. It'll never save you, but it'll keep you right in this world. But it shows us that, hold on a wee second, if there's no saving of myself in the law, how am I going to get saved? And that's where you come to God's salvation. You would think that Jesus would have had his work cut out just paying for one of our sin debts. Just paying for the sins of one person. Those tens of thousands of death sentences from just one person. It would take God to do just that. But God didn't do that. He paid on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago for all the sins of every person. Of each person that has ever lived, whether they call upon him as Savior, he paid for their sins. Or whether they reject him as Savior, those sins are paid for, they just never turned up and asked for the payment. But they're all paid for. All those millions upon millions, untold millions of death sentences that are due to us as a creature. The scale of his salvation beggars comprehension. It is so great. John the Baptist, he said, when Jesus came to be baptized, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." It is him. It is that man, Jesus Christ, John said. He is the only one that can pay for sins. Didn't even the Pharisees and the scribes that hated Jesus, didn't they even say, "Who can forgive sins but God only?" Whenever Jesus forgave the sins of a man and he got up and walked or whatever it was that he did. They recognize that only God can forgive sin. The scale of our debt to God is so great that only a great God can pay for it. And I am glad of God's great love for us in doing that. And he didn't just love us the way we would say as we're walking out the door, "Love you." And we never think, never hear kids say, "Love you, Mom." It's more like, "Mom, I love you for your cooking. I love you for your ironing. I love you for the times that you come up and sit beside me in the bed and hold me when I'm having a nightmare. I love you for that, Mom. I love you for the time you got me my new trainers, my new video game, and for the time you drive me down to school," although many times parents don't get thanked for that. It's not "I love you for all the things that you have done for me." It's I love you because you're mine. That's the love that Jesus has for us. He created us. We are his creation. And it's so great. We will never comprehend it. Even the deepest, purest love that a husband has for his wife, or a wife for a husband, or a parent for a child, is only a pale shadow of the love that God has for us. And I know we don't get that because we haven't experienced it. Except maybe a wee taste of it whenever we told God we were sorry for our sins and begged him to save us. The amount, the scale is unimaginable. It's crazy. And like that little locust looking up and all he can see is the grass around about him, and he doesn't see anything above those few wee leaves of grass. Can't comprehend anything other than other locusts and maybe a bit of the hedge that's coming up close to it. But God sees far and beyond all of that. It is absolutely out of our comprehension. But I'll tell you what isn't. God isn't. And the bit that he shows to us, the Savior that he gave us, we can see him, we can know him, and we can call upon him as Savior. But even more than that, for this God that's insanely huge, still can make himself take up residence in our hearts whenever we give him a wee bit of room. All we have to do is ask. There's two more scales I want to have a wee look at, and then we're done very quickly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, has anyone ever heard of the verses, "Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus? And let every man take heed how he build thereon." And it goes on to mention works of gold and silver and precious stones and wood and hay and rubble. This is for you and I that are saved. There is actually a balancing scale of our good deeds and our bad deeds. Our bad, our worthless deeds as a Christian, they're forgotten about. They're kicked into touch. And there is a measurement of our good deeds. And it talks about treasures being laid at our feet for all the good things that we do for Jesus. It's not going to affect our salvation. It's not going to take away our place in heaven. It's just an honest measure of all of the things that we have ever done. Whether they're done for us or done for Jesus, and God will have a wee look at them and see if they're for keeping or for throwing away. They're measured. And those things that we do as Christians, the Bible talks about giving account of every idle word. It certainly talks about giving an account of the things that we do. And if you're wanting to have a look in Matthew chapter 5, it even says you'll give an account of the things that go on in your head. Oh, we're all sinners. And we all need a Savior. We need a Savior that is prepared to forgive all of the things that we have done. And if you choose Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will forgive you. And not only will he give you eternal life, he'll give you a life down here that's worth living. A life second to none. A life that you will be able to sit on your deathbed, or even as eternity comes rushing towards you, and say, "I have never regretted anything that I have given to God or done for God. My only regret," again in the words of the song, "is I'll wish I'd given him more." There's one more scale and then we're done. And this is probably the saddest one. It's in Revelation chapter 20. I'm going to take and turn there, and I'm going to read a wee bit to you. Revelation chapter 20. And this is in verse 11. And there's only five or six verses here, and I'll read them out to you. And this is what John saw whenever he was brought up to the third heaven on the Lord's day. He said, I saw a great white throne. That's Jesus Christ's great white throne of judgment. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And we're not talking about the cast of the walking dead, okay? It's people that are dead in trespasses and sins. And here's where the scales come in. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. There's those scales again. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So, if you're not saved, you're going into the lake of fire, but in between times, in between standing in front of the great white throne of judgment, and all those books being open, and I'll tell you what they are. The book of life is every single book, is every single name that has ever asked Jesus Christ to save them. There, people's names go into that book. And once your name goes in there, whenever you ask for it to be put in there, it goes in there. And nobody can take it away. But there's another book. There's a book of our deeds, of our words, of our thoughts. And each person would probably need a book, and it would have to be a very thick book. Or maybe they use high density RAM to save it all on a tiny little chip about that size there, who knows. But all people's works and deeds and thoughts and words are written. Works, deeds, thoughts and words. Anyway, you get the idea. Everything that anybody ever does or thinks is written down in those books. And then it's compared against these books, the 66 books of the Bible. And every single one is put on the scales. And people say, but I helped that little old lady across the road, and so God lets us go first. He's a gentleman, and put our deeds on. And of course, good deed. I obeyed my mum and dad, another good deed. I did my homework, another good deed. I didn't steal anything from work, another good deed. And people come up with all these good deeds, and the scales start to tilt in the favor of more good deeds than bad deeds, and until the books are opened and people's words and deeds and thoughts are put on the other side of the scale. And unless there's like multiple saviors of multiple towns and multiple nuclear conflicts, I'm afraid once the bad deeds and the rules that were broken and God's laws start get piling on the other side of the scales, it goes back up very quickly and it goes down in favor of eternal damnation. But forby even that, the Bible says the one thing that will scupper every single soul, no matter how good they are, whenever it comes to getting into heaven, it's not getting saved. Not getting saved. If you don't get saved, you're not getting into heaven. You can get saved and your whole life can be a failure. You can be a failure at your job. You can be a failure at being a friend. You can be a failure at being a spouse. You can be a failure at being a boss. You can be a failure at your chosen possession. You can be a failure at being a neighbor. You can be a failure at your banking and your finances. You can be a failure in fashion. I think I'm quite a good, I'd be eligible for that there. I dressed myself today. I suppose I'm glad the colors are sort of matching. And you'll still go to heaven if you choose Christ as your savior. But you can be the best looking, most successful, richest, most charming, most generous, most talented musician even, physically talented. You can be one of the wisest men that ever lived. Buddha and Confucius, wise men. If your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you're not saved, you're not getting into heaven. And that's the long and short of it. In every part of our lives, there is, I suppose you could say, a balancing act. It marks our characters and what other people think about us, our testimonies as to what we do. And we should aim. That's the part that we have influence over. That's the part that we can do in this life after that we're saved. That's the part that we can do as well. Christ has done all the work. All we need to do is accept it. But every single day of our lives, it's a matter of loading those scales in God's favour. And you would be surprised what that does to people. Whenever they see you, or me, living for him, taking on the chin the things the world, the flesh and the devil will try to do us and still smiling, God will know. People will know that God has those scales tipped in our favour. No matter what the world, the flesh and the devil would like to take away from us. But I would like for you to just be mindful of the scales. One last scale, I nearly forgot about it, is the scales of justice. Real justice. Eternal justice. Don't know if anybody here knows someone that they'd just like to take and put their hands around their neck and just give them a twist and a squeeze. Or they'd just like to get their big boots on and just kick them down the street and just keep kicking them. Maybe you've even done it in your past. A lot of times, there are people that need that. I'm not joking you. I've heard people say, and I believe it myself, the death penalty should never have been abolished anywhere in the world. There are things that, for which people should be put to death. And murder's one of them. But you know what? There's a lot of people seem to skate in this life, don't they? They seem to get away with everything, no matter what they do. What we need to remember, as those people slip off, they think, having had a narrow escape from all of their consequences into an eternity, thinking, ha, I beat them all. Nobody ever got me. There's a little verse of scripture that says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a beautiful, joyful thing to step into the hands of the living God. But it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. There will come a time, the Bible says, Jesus said, that every single soul that steps off into eternity with unresolved debts, i.e. to God, will end up in a place where the flames dieth not, where the worm dieth not, and the flames burn basically forever and ever. Where every single bad decision, and it might not have been one, but many over a period of years, where people got to the point of believing that they could literally do anything and nothing would happen to them and there'd be no consequences, took them to the point of thinking that even sin would be forgiven if they just turned up in front of God. And the next thing they do is they open their eyes and hell being in torments, just like the rich man and in Luke chapter 16. Just like these souls, all of them, people that you know are mentioned here. Those dead, great and small. People that you know that steadfastly refuse to dig their heels in whenever it comes to getting saved will be there. And justice will be served. And they will regret every time they broke God's law, and they will regret every single decision that took them, that brought them to this point, that brought God's ire and wrath upon them. And justice will be served. The scales of justice, many times we don't seem to see them balanced properly in this life, but I guarantee you, even the smartest, most wicked, most charming locust in this world is still a locust. Even the greatest of human beings with an IQ of 200 or more still like an ant in the face of God. And justice will be served. The scales will always be balanced out eventually. Either by God if you let him, or by yourself if you don't. I'm going to tell you right now, man has no chance. Remember when the Lord was talking to the disciples about the rich young ruler? And the Lord said to him after the rich young ruler, he went away lamenting because his belongings had such a grip upon him that he couldn't let them go and put God in their place. And he went away lamenting. And the disciples said, how are men supposed to be saved? Remember what Jesus said, with man it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time, and God bless you. One last song in the little hymn books. I think it is hymn number 19, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. Hymn number 19 in the wee books. If you'd like to stand, and we'll close out the service with the words of God Be With You Till We Meet Again.
Till we meet.
at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.
Amen. Thank you all very much. God bless you. Safe travels. Don't forget, Frank is going to be travelling back tomorrow evening, isn't it?
Yeah.
Winging his way all the way back to the mainland. So don't forget to pray for Frank. Don't forget the two Yahoos at the back, Marky and Jake, as they travel back up to Bangor. Well, when you come to Bethel, you have to travel and each other as well. So be much in prayer. Thank you. Mark, would you just pray and dismiss the meeting for us, please, if you would.
Amen.
Thank you, Mark. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you, and thank you very much.